Hello, listeners. This is Darren, and welcome to another episode of The Criterionist, a look at the Criterion Collection, one spine number at a time. This is episode 34, so we're going to take a look at spine number 34, and that is Andrei Tarkovsky's Andrei Rublev. Just so you know, this is a spoiler-filled podcast. It will spoil the film at any time. Just be warned, so go watch this film, this 3.5 hour film, before you listen to this episode, or just proceed with caution. So let's get started with the plot. So basically this film is about, obviously, Andrei. He's a painter, kind of. We never really see him create anything. I'll get to that later in the theme section. But the film does open. The first shot is this ugly put-together air balloon. It's the 1400s. I think it's literally, in this scene, 1400. And there's just this ugly, poorly put-together hot air balloon. And then this guy, like, everyone's trying to stop this guy from flying this air balloon, and he does, and we get these wonderful helicopter shots, and like animals running away, and he's like, chase me, or run away from me. I forget what he says, but he's just yelling at the animals. This guy's crazy. And then the balloon crashes and he dies, and then it goes into the next section, pretty much, which is a jester. But that scene is just so weird and funny, and I think a pretty good way to open this film, just grabbing your attention right off the bat with this odd image of a balloon. You don't know what it is because it looks nothing like you've ever seen before, and then this guy dies in a hot air balloon crash. But then it goes into the jester, which we see three monks, I think, and Andrei is part of that group. There's a couple other, and this jester's just making people laugh. Like, he's a stand-up comedian, but he's more acting than just jokes. He tells jokes too. He makes everyone laugh in this cabin. Then that guy's like, he's taken away by the police, whatever the police are called back then. Once Andrei and his group comes in, then he's taken away. This film is long. There's a lot of stuff to cover plot wise, but one thing I noticed about all of it is Andrei doesn't really do anything. He's just an observer, pretty much. There's a guy named Theophanes, I think that's how you pronounce it. He's an artist too. Andrei's a monk, but he's also a painter. I'll call him Theo. He's a painter too, but he's more trouble. He's more overdramatic. Andrei's kind of boring, not really the best word, but compared to Theo, he's boring. Theo's just like, oh, God is, he is ruining everything, and everything's wrong, and nothing goes right, and I can't paint, and he's just an overdramatic artist. And him and Andrei kind of become a team. Again, we never see anyone like create anything besides the hot air balloon, but like eventually they just get into these kind of theological debates, which is another kind of theme of the film. This seems to be a high moment in the time period where people are really religious, but all these artists we meet are really skeptical and like have atheist viewpoints, or are very, very doubtful of the faith, which is very interesting. Yeah, so eventually, again, a lot of stuff to get to, 3.5 hours. There's this kind of raid on Vladimir, a town called Vladimir, and this scene is absolutely insane. There is a lot of, like, fighting and then fake blood being shed, and it splats. Like, I don't expect it to splat. It's not splatting, it's not violent by our standards today, but back then I didn't really expect this, as much blood as there is, and then I didn't expect what they do to the animals. At one point, a cow is just on fire running around. I assume it dies because it doesn't seem very protected, and it seems like it's in pain. And it's just like, I get why he did that, because it's so shocking, and this scene needs to be shocking for what comes next in Andre's life. But he, this Tarkovsky, pardon my muttering, he literally sets a cow on fire. It might have some protection, but not much. And then the even crazier, it gets even crazier from there. They kill a horse on screen. Man, that's just such a crazy little scene there where, just a horse is like falling downstairs and you feel terrible for the horse. And then they just start stabbing it, and they kill it. And I think they for real kill it on screen. I just can't imagine being the actor who has to have the spear and just start stabbing. It's very disturbing. It's very weird, very politically incorrect. I would say, you know, like Blazing Saddles says the N-word a lot, and you say, oh, you can't make that today. You can't make kind of that racial humor today on Blazing Saddles. I would put it in that category, like, oh, it's just the time period, they could do that back then. I just don't remember it, reading anything about a time period where you could just kill animals for art, which is not a good thing. It's very off-putting. I don't quite understand his motive behind, like, actually killing a horse. Except, you know, the fact that it needs to be the most horrific scene in the film, and probably one of the most horrific scenes put to film in that period of time back in the 60s. But yeah, this of course is horrific, and this kind of upsets Andre quite a bit. He takes a vow of silence, and he stops making art, even though we really haven't seen art being made. There is, like, one longer scene before this where someone's got to paint. And I'm like, oh, hey, we're finally going to make some art. And then I think someone dies and someone just splats mud on the building they have to paint. Or someone else does. I'm like, oh, this art thing's never going to happen. Yeah, but Andre, not okay. He takes a vow of silence. He is quiet for a long, long time. At one point, there's a woman who he saves. I think he saves in the battle. But now she's annoying. Or she's annoying him. She's like a little kid almost. But this one guy, the prince, who I think attacked the Vladimir, he takes her to marry him. I think it's someone else. I'm not quite sure. Very hard to figure out what's going on in this film, especially when I watched in two sittings, about half and half, so an hour 40 minutes about each. Not too bad. I've seen this film before. It was hard to watch back then, hard to follow back then, still pretty hard to follow. I tried to figure out everything, but yeah, that girl goes off and gets married. This guy has seven wives. She'll be his eighth. But then the final scene, which is a long, it's about 50 minutes of the film, maybe about 45, 40, is the bell, the creation of the bell. A bell needs to be made, and this young man, Borisk, he claims he can make a bell. His father was a bell maker, but he died in the plague. His whole family did. He claims he can make it. He can't, but really on faith and luck, mostly faith, this man figures out how to make a bell. It's the best scene, it's the best sequence in the film. Again, Andre's just pretty much in the background, just watching this poor kid eventually just learn how to make a bell by the grace of God. This kind of rejuvenates Andre, and he confronts the kid. Andre finally talks. It's been about an hour, maybe more, since Andre has talked. Oh yeah, at that point, maybe an hour and a half. But the kid kind of breaks down. He said, "I had no idea how to do that, and I did it. I made a bell. It rings. Like, if it didn't ring, I would have been killed. I would have been sent to jail and then executed." But after all that, it's a long sequence. It's almost funny to me, because he starts out so small and innocent, and just the lie grows bigger and bigger. And there's just, like, holes being dug, and there's so many, like, workers working on this bell. And it's just like, oh my gosh, this guy's gonna, he's gonna get killed. He's gonna be a traitor to these people, and they're going to execute him. But he makes the bell, it rings, it's a very satisfying scene. Andre finally talks when he's alone with, Borisk, and he breaks down and just says, I can't believe I did that. And he just comforts him and says, good job, pretty much. Then the kind of epilogue to the whole film is in black and white, kind of dark. The film is grainy. The version I watched is pretty dark and doesn't look good. I think it's the best one, though, the best version you can get, because it's such an old film, and it was kind of put on the not put in theaters. It wasn't very appreciated, or they didn't really want to put it out. It was kind of negative towards war, and I think he's Russian, Tarkovsky. I think they just didn't want to put such a negative film out, even though it's not that negative. I think I'll get to that. But the epilogue, the epilogue is in color, and just a portrait of, not a portrait, but just images of all of Andrei Rublev's work, which is a big theme in the film. Just like, this guy didn't do anything. He saw all this stuff and then painted all this beautiful art. I'll get a little bit deeper into that in the themes, which maybe right now. That was Andrei Rublev. Yeah, let's get into that theme right now. So Andrei, I was wondering through probably a little more than half of this film, like, why is this called Andrei Rublev? Even the second time, I'm just like, what is this film trying to say? Why have a character that's so uninteresting, doesn't do anything to advance the plot? He's just kind of watching, and I went, oh wait, this guy's a painter. I know that. I know the end will show me all his paintings. Maybe he's just the observer of the world, and he expresses what he's seen and how he views the world, I guess, through his paintings. He sees terrible, terrible stuff. He sees a jester get arrested. That guy comes back, and actually during the bell sequence, and says, you put me to jail, and it ends up being his friend, Andre's friend. But I'm like, no, Andre didn't do anything. He never really does anything to further the plot, and that was, again, it was someone else. So he's just watching you make weird jokes and then get arrested. He watches this young boy lie about making a bell, knowing how to make a bell, and then, through the grace of God, again, creating this gigantic bell, and he sees this terrible war, terrible attack on this country. He sees a woman he saved from that battle be taken so easily to be a wife, an eighth wife to this terrible man. He's seen all this bad stuff and is pretty upset about it, and then finally this kind of miracle happens, and he finally gets to express himself through the paintings and just paints these wonderful images that we get to see at the end. Just kind of, the film is kind of saying art comes from tragedy, and then also from happiness. You can create it from any place, and it doesn't even have to be your own tragedy. It just, the world around you kind of motivates what an artist will create, which is another theme in the film, just how it seems with music. I notice this more, like the saddest themes for an album are usually the better musical-wise. Really, yeah, I can't think of any examples for some reason, but yeah, just the sadder things are, it seems, the more musicians can make the better albums of all time. And this is true for Andre. He lives a normal life, but everything around him is so tragic and terrible that he can't help but be sad about it and need to express it with his paintings. Yeah, so that's all I see theme-wise. Let's get to the conclusion, what I thought about the film. So, yeah, I like it. It's 3.5 hours. That's too long. I get it. He needs to go through a lot, and Tarkovsky is kind of, he's like that. He likes the long takes. Solaris and Mirror are the only other two I've seen. He likes long takes in those. He likes to kind of meditate on a scene, let it linger. But this one's got so many long takes, so many long scenes, just, it's too long. I found myself just loving the film at points, just like, oh, this is great, I love this long scene, this is great, and then other scenes I'm just like, can this movie be over, please? So I found myself loving it, then hating it, which probably put it right in the middle of the overall films I've seen, the 34 that I've seen so far, and it's too long. If it was maybe 40 minutes shorter, it may be a top 10 of the Criterion. I am ranking all the Criterion movies on Letterboxd. Just type Skags91. I think that's my username, SKAGGS, #9, #1. I'm ranking all the Criterion Collection as I watch them. This one's like right in the middle, I found, because I just love it and then also hate it. not my favorite, my third favorite Tarkovsky movie. I really do love Solaris, and Mira is great. I wish Mira was in the collection. I want to revisit that to see if I get anything new out of it, because that's such a weird film. But yeah, this one's odd. This is... I enjoyed it way more the second time. I really did not like it the first time, so I guess that's good. That's what I love about film. You can just view something a second time that you didn't really like, especially these weird films, and you could love it even though you hated it the first time. So yeah, it's pretty much... It's an improvement of what I've been watching. Oliver Twist, Great Expectations, Nanook of the North, which are good films, just not up my alley. This is more up my alley, again, if it was shorter. So yeah, that's I guess all I have to say for this episode. If you want to talk Andrei Rublev or anything else I've seen, email me at darincriterion14@yahoo.com. That's D-A-R-I-N, Criterion, number 4@yahoo.com. Follow me on Twitter at The Criterionist. Listen to my other podcast that I co-host with my friend Andrew. This week we talked about our top 10 favorite albums of 2014. Week previous we talked about our favorite songs. Those were a lot of fun. Please go check them out. I love that podcast. I love my own podcast. That's right. No, but that's a lot of fun to do. I really appreciate if you go give that a listen and review it on iTunes as well as this podcast. Yeah, subscribe if you'd like. Read my movie review blog, schmuckforlife.wordpress.com. That's schmuck, F-O-R, life. Lots of reviews from 2014 up there. And hopefully I'm going to start a James Bond series all before the new one, Spectra, I think it's called. But yeah, I'm going to try to watch all of those and write about them over there. So go look forward to that. Yeah, next week, Diabolik, which I heard is amazing and I've not seen before, and I cannot wait. Because I've heard it's fantastic. Obviously it is, because it's in the Criterion Collection. Just kidding. Sid and Nancy is. So I guess that's not true. Yeah. Thank you for listening. Hope you guys have a good rest of your day. And rest of your week. Bye.